Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear. Like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Dane, how are you, man? Good to hear from you again.
I'm doing well. Good afternoon, guys.
So you, Bradley Chubb, Quentin Nelson, Minka Fitzpatrick, Saquon Barkley. I believe that's your top four, right?
That is. I think Quentin Nelson's the best player in this draft, and then Minka, Fitzpatrick, Bradley Chubb, Saquon Barkley. To me, those are the top four. I would include maybe Denzel Ward, Roquan Smith, Derwin James, if we're talking about that top tier. But the four players you mentioned would be the top four on my board.
I think the name that may surprise some of our listeners of those four is Minka Fitzpatrick, but you love that guy. Is there a position in the secondary he can't play?
No, I don't think there is. And I think there are a lot of people that look at him as a, you know, the jack of all trades, master of none. To me, he's a jack of all trades, master of all trades. He can do anything you want in the secondary. He received his master's degree in Sabanology in college, and he played everything in that Alabama defensive secondary, all six defensive back positions. And Nick Saban has said it on multiple times. He has never had anybody who could play all six at a high level like Minka Fitzpatrick can. He's not as big time of an athlete as a Derwin James or a Denzel Ward, who might, the two defensive backs that might be drafted ahead of him. But he's a football savant. The intelligence, what he brings between the ears to the football field is something that you definitely can see it on tape. Might not always show up in the testing numbers. So get Minka Fitzpatrick on my team. I'd like to try him at outside corner, but at the very worst, I know he can play in that nickel. He can play some free safety. He can do a lot of things in my defense.
I've been obsessed with inside linebackers through this draft, Dane. What's the gap between Roquan Smith and Tremaine Edmonds, who we see regularly off the board in the top 10 for most people, and then Rashawn Evans and Leighton Vander Esch, guys some of us hold out hope, one of whom might be there still at 25, but certainly are coming off the board in most people's eyes more like late teens. What's the gap between those two pair?
I think that, first of all, I think there's a gap between one and two. I think Roquan Smith is the best linebacker in this draft. He's a football magnet. The play speed, the instincts are outstanding. Not the biggest guy, but, you know, I think that, you know, you're going to watch him and you're going to get Derrick Brooks flashbacks. That's why I don't think he gets past 10 at the latest. John Gruden's going to see the next Derrick Brooks with Roquan Smith. And then with Tremaine Edmonds, he is a very talented player. There is no getting around that. And he's only 19 years old. And what he brings from just a size, speed, power, athletic standpoint is off the charts. But he's, you know, you're drafting him for what he can be down the road. And so he's more of a potential pick. And so for me, I'll take more of the sure thing in Roquan. Tremaine Edmonds a second, Edmonds a second. And then I think there's a debate about who the next linebacker off the board is. Some teams have Rashawn Evans. Some have Leighton Vander Esch. I like both. I think both they belong somewhere in the top 30 picks. It will be interesting to see if one will be available at 25. Leighton Vander Esch could very well go in the top 20. He's a hot name right now. He's an ascending player. I think most people know his story by now. Played eight-man football in Idaho, walked on to Boise State, and kind of worked his way up. And then this past year, he became a starter, 140 tackles. He's one of those players where the tape, the traits, and the production – it's all there. And he's an ascending player, like I said, who is getting better and better. So you feel good about where he is right now, and you feel even better about where he can be in the future. A guy that can play all three linebacker positions, scheme diverse. So there's a good chance he can come off the board pretty quickly after the top two linebackers. And then Rashawn Evans has yet to run a 40-yard dash this pre-draft process. A lot of scouts have dinged him for that. Maybe, you know, he doesn't want a 4.8 attached to his name, maybe. You know, there, who knows what his reasoning is, if he's just not comfortable because of the hamstring injury, whatever. But that could hurt him a little bit. But the tape, you turn on the tape and you know, that some of those worries go away because he's a fun player to watch, highly aggressive at the point of attack, has the athleticism where he can move in reverse, has the range to make plays on both sidelines. There's a lot to like about him as well. So I think in my latest mock that came out yesterday, that's where I have the Titans going at 25 is Rashawn Evans.
Dane Brugler, our guest. Dane, going back to Smith and Edmonds, you mentioned if Smith is there at 10, Oakland goes with Roquan Smith. Let's say Smith goes earlier than that. Is Gruden going with Edmonds there? Are they going inside linebacker at 10?
I think there's a strong possibility. I think they're looking for another alpha on defense. They have you know, Khalil Mack, obviously, but they're looking for another alpha out there. Could that be Tremaine Edmonds? Sure. I definitely think he's in that mix. I think Vita Vea is in that mix. You know, the 6'4", 350 guy who has the power, has the range, can do a lot of things up front for you. Derwin James could be in that mix. I think they're looking for just that cornerstone of the defense, the playmaker, to you could pair with Khalil Mack as kind of being the faces of that defense.
Offensive line, Titans have invested a lot high. I'm not sure that Ben Jones is a long-term guy at center, though. Looks like they're going to have a competition at guard amongst a bunch of guys that they brought in for that left guard spot. If you're looking for an offensive lineman who could play center, ideally, in a scheme that's moving towards zone with somebody like Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry, who's somebody that you feel like is a fit maybe in the middle of this draft in that kind of role?
Well, I think in the first round, if James Daniels is there, you have to consider him. He might be the best center prospect we've seen since Alex Mack, possibly. And, you know, he's very young. He doesn't turn 21 years old until week two of the NFL season. Very athletic. He's very smart. Technically sound for a player that young. I think the power, the strength will continue to develop. But he could come off the board top 20. But if he's still available at 25, I think he has to be in consideration there. This center class definitely has it. Worked. Frank Ragnow, a lot of people like him around the league. He could sneak into the first round. Billy Price has that big discount sticker on him right now because of that slight pec tear at the combine. But all reports said he will be healthy at some point during training camp. And so if you can get a Billy Price in the second round, that's tremendous value at that point for a guy that has a little bit of everything to offer, maybe a little over-aggressive at times, but you see the movement skills. He's played guard. He's played center. Powerful at the point of attack. So I think the center class, you know, the top three definitely have something to offer, but they're going to go off the board quickly. So, you know, first two rounds, it probably we have to get those guys.
Dane Brugler is with NFL Draft Scout, joining us now on the Midday 180.
An aside here, we're big fans of yours. We're big fans of Matt Miller. Greg Cosell's a weekly guest of ours. We know that the top draft analysts around the country are great. We decided to have this little competition where we found guys with, you know, fewer than 5,000 Twitter followers and, you know, not huge audiences, but who are clearly all in as draft analysts. So we had 15 of them on as guests, thinking we'd find somebody who would be, you know, the winner of our competition, but also we'd run into some duds. And we didn't run into any duds. I'm just curious, from your perspective, the depth of the guys who are trying to do what you do, and if it isn't maybe one of the best ways into sports writing now, considering how few real avenues there are into sports writing now.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people. You run into a lot of people that have a passion for scouting and for just the NFL in general. And the draft is such a fun way to, talk about the draft, write about the draft. You know, for me personally, scouting that's my passion. It's what I love doing. The draft is what I focus on year round. You know, starting in May, I'll be starting on the 2019 class with the seniors. And so for me, that's what's driven me to this point. And I think I met a lot of people who kind of the same similar interests where they just love doing this and they want to know, okay, how do I get, you know, more, how do I make this my career? And I think social media, Obviously, the internet has been a big part of that. More people can get their voices heard. Twitter's a great way for that. And that's what I tell people is, use Twitter, use social media. And if you're good, your voice will be heard and, you'll kind of distinguish yourself. People will realize, okay, this person knows what he's doing. And so I think social media has definitely been a big catalyst for that.
Dane, if you were drafting for the Browns, which two quarterbacks have you had your eye on the most throughout this process? And which quarterback would you announce next Thursday night for Cleveland?
For me, Sam Darnold is the best quarterback in this draft. I don't even want to admit how many mock drafts I've done in the last year, but every single one I've had Cleveland taking Sam Darnold, and I just don't see a reason to change at this point. I think John Dorsey's keeping the cards pretty close to the vest. I think there's a lot of people in that building who they have no idea who the Browns are going to take, probably including Hugh Jackson and some of the coaches. I think it's going to be a mystery up until Thursday night when we find out who the Browns take at number one. But to me, like I said, Sam Darnold would be the guy. My top two quarterbacks are Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen. The biggest concern with Rosen, it probably comes down to the durability. Had a couple concussions this past year, missed half of it, the second half of the sophomore year with a shoulder. And I talked to some scouts who they go all the way back to, he was a big amateur tennis player. They go back to a shoulder injury from tennis that forced him to quit the sport and focus on football. So the durability, because he's not a mobile guy. He's going to take some hits. But if he is able to stay healthy, I think you're looking at a Matt Ryan type of player. And so where do you take a chance on a Josh Rosen who you might be worried about the medicals? But, he's the best pure pocket passer in this draft. To me, Darnold, I think you get the best of kind of what you're looking for. Does he need to cut down on the turnovers? No question. But at only 20 years old, he can anticipate passing windows. He can create outside of structure with the mobility and the little bit of magic that he brings to the field. He didn't have the best supporting cast around him. Ronald Jones, the terrific running back. With offensive line, we saw it in the bowl game, Cotton Bowl against Ohio State. They just shredded through that offensive line. But he still led USC to a 20-4 record over his 24 starts. The only USC quarterback to ever throw for over 4,000 yards in a season. To me, Sam Darnold's the guy. And right now, where we are 6 days from the draft, I'm still leaning that direction for the Browns.
I want to get your thoughts on Baker Mayfield. How do you evaluate how he will perform at the next level, given the fact that he's coming out of the Big 12 and out of the Lincoln Riley offense?
You hit on the main worry with Baker Mayfield, and that's taking him outside of an offense that was tailor-made for what he does. You get asked this question a lot, and my response is, well, can I bring Lincoln Riley with him? Because that's what's going to be best for him in the NFL. And so, in the NFL, you need to kind of adjust your playbook a little bit to fit what he does best, and that's working the middle of the field, down the seam. He didn't throw it outside the numbers as much as you want to see that you'll expect him to do in a pro style offense. And the other thing is just playing behind that offensive line. He played behind a very powerful offensive line in a conference that didn't have a lot of big time pass rushers. And so how is he going to adjust when the time is cut in half for him to sit back there and find an open receiver? He's an accurate thrower. You can take him outside of the Big 12, put him in the SEC. Some of these throws are just pinpoint, and they're put in a spot where only his man can get it. And so I think that translates, but it's more about adjusting to a smaller amount of time in the pocket, adjusting to the pass rush, and then adjusting to more of a route tree outside the numbers, down the field. Will he be able to adjust to that? It's a big question mark. And a lot of NFL teams are going to lean more toward the Josh Allen, who has the physical skills, the physical traits, those things you can't teach, as opposed to Baker Mayfield, who doesn't have the huge arm or doesn't have the huge size and might get beat up a little bit in the pocket. So it's going to be different from team to team. Baker is my third quarterback, and at some point in the third round, I would take a chance on him. I see a Jeff Garcia-like quarterback stylistically. We're talking about the Pro Bowl Jeff Garcia at one time in his career. So it's still a solid player.
Dane, final thing for you. Who is the player who many analysts are sold on, but you're just not seeing it right now?
I think if we talk about the top guys, I'm not as high on Tremaine Edmonds. I think, outstanding prospect, just not a great player right now. So much of it is based on potential. And then Vita Vea from Washington, if I'm taking a defensive tackle early in the draft, I need him to provide me just more of a pass rush value. I think what Vita Vea offers is, you need that on your football team. But I think I can get a true nose tackle third, fourth round and offer, 75% of what Vita Vea offers, who you have to get in the top 15, top 20 picks. So I'm not as high on Vita Vea, what he offers. He's still a good player, just more, I guess, of what he offers, the skill set and the positional value. I feel better about getting later in the draft.
Dane Brugler, follow him on Twitter at DP Brugler. How many write-ups did you do this year for the notebook? The draft book?
There's 450 reports in there, so it's a resource that I think fans will enjoy on draft weekend. We know about the top guys, but fifth, sixth, seventh round, when your team drafts somebody from North Dakota State, a linebacker, that this draft book will have you covered, everything you want to know about the player.
So if, like, the Alliance of American Football needs a player, they can get your draft guide.
Bingo. That's it. There's over 1,200 players ranked in there, 450 reports, and so it should have you covered from pick 1 to 256, and then, of course, all the PFAs that we'll hear about after the draft.
You're a good man, Dane. We're fans of your work, and we appreciate you making time for us when you're in high demand.
Yeah, keep up the good work.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Anytime.